The remarks of President Truman at the 21st annual banquet of the National Housing Conference, held in the Statler Hotel, 6 May 1952.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President. It's a pleasure indeed for me to be able to come over here for a few minutes. You know I've been right busy here lately. And it's hard for me to get anywhere. I understand I missed some excellent talks here tonight, and I'm sorry for it. I wish I could have heard them all. Even if I did serve 10 years in the Senate, I still like to hear Senator speak. I'm very glad to have this opportunity to speak to the National Housing Conference. You have a wonderful record in helping to get decent housing for the American people. And I, as president, appreciate everything you've done. If everybody had a viewpoint about the public interest and the welfare of the people, similar to yours, would be wonderful. What a really great, happy country we could have. But there are a lot of people who don't feel that way. And you know very well from your battles with the real estate lobby that that's so. We had a housing battle after the war. Do you remember how we started out after that war? To get Congress to pass comprehensive legislation. I sent a message to Congress with a 21-point program in September 1945. And that 21-point program is just as good today as it was in 1945, and some of it hasn't been done yet. One of those points was the housing program, public housing, slum clearance, and urban development, and housing loan guarantees. You people were already working for that kind of legislation, and you know what I'm talking about. The Senate had a bill before it. I talked about this bill some in 1948. The Wagner-Ellender-Taft bill. That was in the 79th Congress. We tried to get it through and came very close to success. The Senate passed the Wagner-Ellender-Taft bill in 1946, but was blocked by the Republican members of the House Committee. Then came that famous 80th Congress. The one I made famous. The bill was called the Taft-Ellender-Wagner bill. It was still a good bill. Changing the names around didn't hurt it a bit. The Democrats tried again and again in both the Senate and the House to get the bill through. But they were blocked at every turn of the road by the Republicans. Then the Republicans adjourned and went to their convention in Philadelphia and put a plank in their platform saying they were for housing legislation, the very thing they'd been fighting against for 3 years. So I called them back into session on Turnip Day, July the 26th, to see if they meant what they said in their Philadelphia platform. Philadelphia platform. You remember what happened. Senator Taft himself turned against the bill and asked the Senate to kill it. And the Senate did kill it. And the Senate did kill it. And then that famous 80th Congress passed, 80th Congress passed a housing bill, but there was so losing bill, but there was so little in it. It was called the teeny weeny housing bill, and it was weeny housing bill, and it was teeny weeny. Things got better after the election of 1948. We had a new Congress in 1949, and we finally got the housing bill passed, and it was a good bill. The real estate lobby took a good licking for once, and new people here had a lot to do with it. And I congratulate you on that. I say that a great deal of the credit for that victory, a victory for the welfare of all the people, could go to Senator Maybank, and Congressman Spence, chairman of the Senate and House Banking and Currency Committees. The bill never would have passed without those, without those two gentlemen. I would think that the real estate lobbyists might have given up after that, but they didn't. They're a stubborn and selfish lot. And besides, some of them make a living by fighting against housing. The real estate lobby's been going all up and down the country into the local communities, trying to throw monkey wrenches into public housing and slum clearance projects out in Los Angeles. It took the courts to save the public housing after the real estate boys got to work. And I haven't got anything against real estate men. I used to be in the real estate business myself. But I think in this public business, they ought to use a little judgment. They'd be much better off if they did, because it'll help them just as what they did, because it'll help them just as well as it will everybody else. The lobby's been busy here in Washington. They've been trying to choke the public housing program to death by cutting off its appropriations. I'm sorry to say that that seems to be a policy now, to try to hamstring the government by cutting off appropriations. They're trying to choke the executive office to death, and they're about to ruin our national defense program. They really don't know what they're doing. I'm going to tell them about it one of these days. And where's the one thing? Within two years from the time Congress passed the law authorizing 135,000 units a year as a reasonable goal, for public housing, the lobby was here trying to get it cut to 5,000. Last year they almost succeeded. And this year they're at it again. When the House of Representatives passed the appropriation bill this time, they put the 5,000 unit limit on again. I'd ask for 75,000 units. Now we'll have to try to get the number increased in the Senate again, just as we did last year. I hope you people keep up the good fight. For decent housing for all our people. At prices they can afford to pay. I hope you'll help me get that 5,000 limit on public housing knocked out of this year's appropriation bill. And I want some help on some other appropriation bills too while we're here. This will do a first-class job of lobbying. While we're at it. It's all right to lobby, same as everybody else's. I hope you'll keep after the housing lobby just as you always have done. And I hope you'll elect the kind of candidates to office this year that care enough about the people and the people's welfare so that they will support a housing program that'll be all in the public interest. I want you to know this, however, that whether I'm in office or out, and I'll be out on the 20th of January, I'm still going to continue this fight with everything I've got. I'm going up and down this country as a private citizen, and I'm going to tell them what the government means from precinct to president, and I'm going to tell them in words of one syllable so they'll understand it. And I'm going after these... these fellows hammer and tongs who've been trying to hamstring the government and who've been trying to keep us from doing our duty as a world power. You must understand that we've entered a new age and a new era. We are the most powerful nation in the world if we just keep our heads and stay that way. And if we do that, we can get a peace in this world that will last. If we do not, we can't. That's all there is to it. And there's been certain things happening in this country that are right down the alley that Mr. Stalin wants us to go. Now let's stop it. Let's get our senses back and go ahead and keep this country just what it ought to be. The greatest and the most prosperous country in the world, and that's what it is now. It's a pleasure for me to be here with you this evening. I almost missed the chance this year to make whistle stop speeches. Stop speeches. So I took one out on you tonight. Thank you very much.